If you were planning on changing your hairstyle, now would be the good time to do it. Anyway. So this article that we're going to tackle tonight, it's great to see everybody. This appeared in December, but we haven't had a chance to look at it yet, so I held on to it. Find the best checkout line. Retailers try to speed up what works, what adds to shopper aggravation. So I love this article. This appeared on December 8th, 2011 in the journal. And it's all about the experience of waiting online. Now, I don't know how many people here do shopping. So I try to avoid most shopping, but I'll usually do a healthy dose of grocery shopping. Other than that, it's not good for my health. But what's that?
Not good for your health.
No, undoubtedly. But you go to the you go to the store and you wait online, and they describe here in the article that after 3 minutes of waiting online...
In line
in Chicago. Online means on the internet. In line means you're standing in line.
True.
This is a problem, isn't it?
I'm
not sure whether I need my backpack or my knapsack right now, but I'm certainly not going to wear gym shoes. That's the shumpon involved, and there are no gym shoes in my house. It's unbelievable what's going on.
Do they wait online?
How about it, you wait online? What else are you going to do?
Wait in line.
No.
All right. We can talk about this later. You wait online. Pasha, you wait online.
No, we wait online.
We're waiting for 10 hours.
And how many people
were
born in Chicago?
What do you think?
You're waiting.
You're standing in line waiting. Go ahead.
All right.
Good.
So, you are you're at the George Washington Bridge, going from New Jersey into New York, and there are 17 lanes of traffic, and there are only 3 toll booths open. So, first of all, it takes you 4 hours to move even a few feet. And then you're thinking to yourself, this is just unbelievable, you're going out of your mind. They're describing how after 3 minutes, every additional minute of waiting, it seems like an exponentially larger number of minutes. So you're standing online at the supermarket, it's only really been 5 minutes, but it feels like 25 minutes. And you're trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do on this line? I'm going crazy. And then somebody else comes in, and then what happens is, the best part is when the next cashier puts the sign and says, open. Then there's a scrum, right? Everybody starts running and jockeying for position. So when I saw this article, I was like, wow, that's so interesting. So I was speaking to my friend and colleague, Rabbi Josh Flug from Florida, who puts together a lot of research for YU. And I asked him if he has, I know he had done some research into a similar topic. I asked him if he had any marmakomos to talk about the ethics of waiting in line according to halacha. And he sent me some very interesting things, and some of them are going to share with you this evening. So how do you know, here's the basic question, how do you know who goes first?
The one who's standing there.
So who's standing where?
In line.
Whoever is in front of
her.
That's easier.
Well, next to the cashier.
Okay. So you're suggesting that...
just opened up.
Okay. So whoever gets there first, they're the first one in line. Are there any exceptions to first come, first serve?
Well, the people would be polite. They would let elderly
all right. So... we're going to try to keep our own personal biases. As you'll see, I have one in a second. That's what I'm saying. You shouldn't be moving out of the line so fast to let people go behind you, Mrs. Mann. Let's not... So there is a pasuk that supports your suggestion that it's not just a nice thing to allow the first person to go first. It actually is halacha. And it might even be a mitzvah, according to the Bali Atosos. Because the pasuk tells us, it's cited here in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, source 1, Kakaton kagadol tishmaun. You have to listen to the small as the large. So what's it talking about? It's talking about a din Torah. A din Torah, a court case. Amar Reish Lakish. What does this mean? Shehechaviv alecha din shel pruta kedin shel meyamane. That means that a court has to treat a small claim, a pruta, the same as it would meyamana, $100,000. It doesn't matter. If you come to court, they have to treat it equal, whether it's a small claim or a large claim. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? L'mai hilchasa, what are you trying to say? Do you mean that if I have a $5 shiloh that's on the table, and I have a $100,000 shiloh on the table, I have to treat them both with equal attention? The Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. Of course, if someone comes to me with a shiloh, it doesn't matter whether it's $5 or $500,000. I have to give them a responsible answer. The Gemara says, that's not what the pasuk is telling you. Says the Gemara at the end of source 1, Ela le'akdume. It means, in terms of order, lahakdim, who goes first. So the pasuk is telling you, it doesn't matter whether you have a small case or a very large case, whoever came first, they're first. So it's first come, first serve, according to the pasuk. Even if the first person who's waiting online is only a small claim, and the second person is a large claim. So you see from this pasuk that when the person comes first, they get served first. Well, what about if somebody doesn't come first? You have two shopping carts, and they both converge on the aisle at the same time. So what do? So the Gemara treats that case, a similar case in source number 2, in Gemara and Daf Lamed Beis and Beis, works off the following pasuk: Tzedek, tzedek tirdof. You have to pursue justice, pursue righteousness, twice. Echad ladin, ve'echad lepshara. Once for justice, for halacha, for strict law, and one for compromise. Ketzad, what does that mean? So the Gemara tells you. Shtei sfinos, two ships, ovros benahar, that are passing in the river, upagu zebezeh, and they encountered each other. Now, according to Rashi, the way that this Gemara is set up is that you have the two ships, they're like this. They're not traveling next to each other, they're traveling across, and they encounter each other. And the problem is, says the Gemara, im ovros shtein, if they both attempt to pass simultaneously, shtein tovos, they'll both sink. Bezeh arzeh, but if they take turns, shtein ovros, they'll both pass. So what do? They both got to the cashier at the same time. V'chein shnei gamalim, and two camels, shahayu olim b'malos beis choron, that are going up on the footsteps of Beis Choron, which was a very narrow pass. It was a place where people used to travel, and it was a very narrow area. This is referred to elsewhere in the Gemara, this particular location.
For Rosh Hashanah,
yes, it appears in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, about Kibnei Maron. That's one of several places it appears in Shas. Upagu zebezeh, the two backpackers are crossing the path at the same time. Im olu shneim, they'll both try to pass simultaneously. What's going to happen? Shneim oflin, they'll both fall down. Bezeh harzeh, if they go one after the other, shneim olim, they'll both pass. So what do? Haketzad. So it says the Gemara like this. Tu'una v'she'ena tu'una. There's a backpacker who's carrying a load, and then there's one who's not carrying any load. There's a woman who's carrying a child, and then there's a woman who's not carrying anything. There's a ship that's burdened with a heavy burden. Then, tidacha she'ena tu'una, mipnei tu'una. The right of way goes to the tu'una, to the ship, or the camel that's carrying the load. And the other one steps aside. Krova v'she'ena krova. I live just a stone throw away from the store, and the other person lives very far away. Tidacha krova, mipnei she'ena krova. Hoyushtein krovos, if both of them were close, shtein rechokos, both of them are far, what should you do, says the Gemara? Hatel pshar beinayim. Put down a compromise. Umalos sechar zulazu. You have to compensate the other party financially. Meaning, if obviously, you know, if we're at Jewel and it's on Friday, it's not such a big deal, I'm not going to ask you for compensation if I'm going to go before you. But let's say we own a multi-million dollar cargo ships and we're passing in the Panama Canal. So if my ship has to wait 6 hours, it's going to cost me money. If we are two airplanes that are jockeying for position at the same terminal, it costs them hundreds of dollars every hour that those planes sit on the ground. So the Gemara says you have to compensate. But what do you see from this? You see that on the one hand, first come, first serve. On the other hand, if two people come simultaneously, so we have to create a system of pshara. But pshara is one which takes into consideration many factors. And we'll get back to this later. We'll talk about some of the more specifics. So that's in terms of if first come, first serve, and if they come together. Are there any exceptions? So there is one exception, and One day maybe I'll qualify for this exception, but I can tell you I have Rabbeim. I know people who qualify for this exception. They are bona fide, true Talmidei Chachamim. And Talmidei Chachamim, says the Gemara, are an exception. That appears in the Gemara in Source 3, the Gemara in Shavuos. Rav Ula Breid Rav Eloi, Rav Ula the son of Rav Eloi, Havalei Dina Kameid Rav Nachman. He had a Din Torah in front of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was a well-known rabbinical judge in the time of the Talmud. He also was a relative of the Reish Galusa. He was Mechutanim of the Exilarch. So that meant that nobody messed with him. He had protected him. It was before Chicago existed. It was Babylonian, but it was the same kind of style. Nobody started up with Rav Nachman. Sholach le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef sent a letter to Rav Nachman. He said, quote, Ula chaverenu, our friend Ula, amiz b'torah uva mitzvos. He's our colleague in learning and mitzvos. So that means, Ula is a Talmud Chacham. That's a letter that he sent to Rav Nachman. So Amar, Rav Nachman said, Lamai sholach li lechanufele? What are you trying to do? You're trying to flatter the litigant? Why are you sending me that letter? So Omar, he said, Lemishrei Betigrei, that he should go first in the line. And similarly, the Gemara tells you the same story in Nedarim. Omar Rava in Source 4, Sharalei Tzorvim Me'abana Lameimar Tzorvim Me'abana Ana, a young scholar, so maybe I get the young part, gets the right to say he is a scholar, and therefore Sharalei Tigroi Bereisha, he should go first in the line. Okay, so a scholar, a Talmud Chacham, goes first in the line. Why do you think a Talmud Chacham goes first?
He has to go learn.
Oh, what? Whoa, we have a machlokes. What's your answer, Mrs. M?
He has to learn.
He has to go learn. What's your suggestion?
Kavanat Torah.
Oh, so you're machavin to the machlokes between the Rashi and the Rosh. How do you like that?
Wow.
I couldn't have said it better myself. So, let's start on this side. Sharli Tigroi, what does Rashi say? Hakdimu ledina l'shel acherim, why? Bishvil kvod torasi. So Mrs. Sandberg is saying, like Rashi, that the honor of the Torah means you got to put the Talmud Chacham first. Whereas if you turn the page, and you see in page 5, the Rush, this is Mrs. Matanki Poshet. Obviously, she knows this is the Rush. The Rosh, in his commentary on the side of the page of Maseches Nedarim, says, Paskuli dini, you got to paske my shayla, why? Kedei shelo esbatel milimudi. That I shouldn't miss out in my learning. Maise shohoya kachoya. I remember my in-laws, they have a cousin who lives in Eretz Yisrael, and she related a story that she was in a makolet once. And she saw there was a line, there was a woman standing on line, and right behind this woman there was a young guy. And she was talking to the man, and she asked him what he does, and he says that he learns in a kollel. He's in a yeshiva in the neighborhood. So she said to him, what time does your Seder start? And he said, in a few minutes. So she said, you go first. You don't get a better Musa Seder than that. Yeah.
So, I mean, you may know this is a Talmud Chacham, but the person behind you may not.
So we'll get back to that in a second. We'll get back to that in 1 second.
But if there is an expecting mother...
We'll get to the mothers in a minute. We'll get to the mothers in
the
Me'iri. We'll get to the Me'iri in a second. That's right. Me'iri is going to talk about that in a little bit. What's the nafkamina between this disagreement between our two distinguished...
Scholars, right?
What's the nafkamina? So I'll give you a nafkamina. Let's say, it's not so far-fetched. Let's say I was a Chassidish Rebbe. I have plenty of white socks at home. So let's say I was a Chassidish Rebbe and I had a Mesharis. I had a Shamus who would go around with me. So everybody knows that this Shamus is Reuven Brand's Shamus. And he's going to go do the grocery shopping. I'm not going to do the grocery shopping. He's going to do the grocery shopping, Kayadua. So what's the din then, if he's on the line? So if you hold like Mrs. Matanki, so then it's a Shiloh Bittul Torah. What Bittul Torah? I'm sitting and learning.
Right.
I'm not in the supermarket. But if you hold that it's a din of Kavarat Torah, so then the Kavarat Torah would apply to the people who are associated with the Talmud Chacham. So that's an interesting nafkamina, whether you view it as a function of practical Talmud Torah or Kavarat Torah. But now the question is going to be, let's leave that question for a second. Well, does this mean that the rabbi is going to go first in the second category? In the case where the two people come together? Or even in the first category, that we're all online and the rabbi walks in, that means he goes to the front of the line? It's a good question. Tosus asked this question. On source 6, Tosus asked the Shaila, and he answers it without speaking out the question. He just tells you, L'mishrele Tigre should cut the line, it should go first. Kishabo shnei dayon dinim bevasachas. Tosus says, when does this apply that the rabbi goes first? When they got there simultaneously. If the rabbi came later, so the rabbi waits online. But if they came together at the same time, then the rabbi goes first. How does he know that? Because Tosus says, wait, we started with a pasuk, kakaton gagadol tishma'un, that told me, the mitzvah in the Torah says, that the first come, first serve. Oh. However, says Tosus, three lines from the end, inami, if also, inami is a code word. I'm not going to test those of us who are in the stages of learning Talmud, who know all these code words in the Gemara. You know when it says inami, that gives you an alternative explanation. So Tosus' first impression was that the rabbi only goes first when they come simultaneously. Tosus inami, his if also says, inami no. Asei dechovra Torah odif. The requirement to give honor for Torah trumps the pasuk that told us that first come, first serve. So according to the first day in Tosfos, only the rabbi goes first if he came at the same time. According to the second day, he goes first in either case. What's the psak? Source 6 says the Shulchan Aruch and Chosh Mishpat in Tesvav. This is in Hilchos Dayanim, in Hilchos Dinei Torah. Tzarech hadayin shiyaktim lodon hadin shebol lefan of tchila. First come, first serve. But then says the Shulchan Aruch, avol tzarech lahaktim din shel Talmud Chacham afilu ba libasof. The Talmud Chacham goes first, even if he arrived later. Okay? So that's the din. The din is, if the Talmud Chacham arrives, even if he gets there after I do, I put the Talmud Chacham in front of me. Now, one important caveat that somebody raised before, and that's raised by Rav Sternbach, or Moshe Sternbach is a great Rav today in the Eidah Haredis. He lived for a while in Johannesburg in South Africa, and he published a series of tshuvas called Tshuvas Va'Hanhagos. He's published many svarim, Moadim Mizmanim, and Rav Sternbach, who lives in Yerushalayim now, I believe. So he has a tshuva where he talks about this. And he says, well, there's an important balance to keep in mind. He says, in 7, Omnam, et Talmud Chacham mechake sheyesh lo din kedima bidin Torah, l'chora pashut shemuter lo lahakdim esatzmo b'tor. If the Talmud Chacham is waiting online, it is obvious that he has the right to go first in the line. He says, avol nireh, it seems to me, shemitzvah zu al hatzibur. It's on the community, lechabed Talmud Chacham o zakein. Whose responsibility is it to take care of the honor of the Talmud Chacham? The people in the community. Mitzido, he says, omnam mitzido, roilo le Talmud Chacham lehishtadel shelo lahatriach lahatzibur. It's better if the Talmud Chacham is careful not to disturb the other people. When I get to the line at the TSA, you know, it's long. The line is long like the Golis. So I'm not going to say to the lady there at the line, you know, I've been a Talmud Chacham, Sahib should go to the front. All the people are there. The fact that I always show up to my plane late, it doesn't mean I should go to the front of the line. If they have Rachmanis, they want me to make my plane. So they'll live.
Someone recognizes you and says, Rabbi, come, take my place.
So that would be, not for me, but obviously a bona fide, real Talmud Chacham. So that would be the real Kavanah Torah. So that's what Rav, and I think this is a very subtle, important nuance that Rav Sternbach is talking about, is that from the perspective of the Talmud Chacham, I should be sensitive to the feelings of the community. And this is why many cases, many Talmidei Chachamim, in my own experience, I've seen this, that when they'll come to a particular gathering or something, they'll slide in through the back door instead of making a whole tararam, so that they shouldn't make too much of a big deal. But on the other hand, it's the responsibility of the tzibur, of the community, to have the kavod rav, to respect the Talmud Chacham, to give him that place. That, and I think that idea, I think it's really at the heart of a Gemara in Chagiga, at the end of the page, even though this Gemara is not about a Talmud Chacham, but I think it gets to the same point. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kivyachol, he cries every single day. So the first thing is, before we get to why, obviously it does not mean that the Almighty has tear ducts and he actually sheds tears. It means that in some metaphorical concept, it's somewhat disappointing, it's disturbing. What are those? So those tears come for three kinds of people. Says the Gemara, in Source 8, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries, Tana Rabbanan, Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bocha Aleihem B'chol Yom. There are three people about whom God cries every day. And the first one is, Al She'ef Shalazik B'Torah Ve'eino Osek. The person who has the opportunity, the ability to study Torah every day, or any time, in general. The person who has the chance to learn and doesn't do it. Va'al she'ef shalasuk b'Torah va'osik. Someone who doesn't have the capacity to learn Torah, and they do so anyway. And the last one, says the Gemara, is the parnes ha'mizgoe ala tzibur. The leader who lords himself over his constituents. A parnes is a leader. He's Mizgoa Alatzibur from Lashon Gaiva, from hubris. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he cries over that Avla. So the Talmidei Chachamim, who are, many of them are Parnasim, they are leaders in the community. They have to be sensitive to the constituents, to the rest of us, not to abuse that place. So that's one exception. That's the Talmud Chacham. Are there other exceptions? So take a look at the Rambam in Source 9. Says the Rambam, Hoyu lefnei ha-dayonim, Bale Din Harbe. Let's say there were many people in the courtroom. Magdimin es Din Hayosom. Who comes first? The orphan. And then?
The Almana.
Ladino Almana. How do you know this? He quotes a Pasuk Shenemar. Shiftu Yasom. Judge the orphan. Rivu Almana. Rivu means to take up the cause. Rivu almana, take up the cause of the widow. And it says the Rambam further, V'din almana, kodim l'din talmud chacham. The widow comes before the rabbi. Says the Rambam further, V'din talmud chacham, kodim l'din ha'ma'aretz. The talmud chacham, the sage, comes before the ignoramus. V'din ha'isha, a woman, kodim l'ish, kodim l'din ha'ish, comes before the man. Why? Shaboshes ha'isha meruba. Women are more sensitive by nature. So if she has to stand online in this courtroom, it's making her feel very uncomfortable. As opposed to the men in the courtroom, they're less uncomfortable. So therefore, says the Torah, when it comes to prioritizing who's going to go first in the line, so we have all these sensitivities. So the Yasam is going to come first, the orphan, and then comes the Almana, and then the Talmud Chacham, and the Isha. So it's very interesting. According to the Rambam, we have all of these other factors. When I'm standing online, when I'm jockeying for position, I got to be sensitive, I got to be conscious of who's around me. Who else is waiting online? So the question I have in this Rambam is, what does the Rambam mean here? Does the Rambam mean that this is true when they come second, or only when we come together? Let's say I'm in the line at the same time that an older person, someone who is, or an almana, or a yasom. There's a yasom online, and I'm online, and we're coming at the same time. So that means I should allow the yasom to go before me, assuming we extrapolate from this Rambam to areas outside of courts. Okay? Or does the Rambam even mean that if I'm standing online first, but I see that there's an almana behind me, that I should give her the right of way? What do you think? What's the pshat of this Rambam? So it's not so clear what the Rambam thinks. Not clear. I agree with you. But if you look in the Me'iri answers this shaila.
But I have one other question too. When you say Ish, it comes before an Ish, as a generic term which includes Talmud Chacham.
Right.
So is the Rambam saying that she comes also before a Talmud Chacham?
That's a good question. It's not so clear. It's not so clear from the Rambam on that question. I would guess the answer is no, but I can't say for certain. Because the boshes, the sensitivity to the isha, has to be weighed in light of the mitzvah min ha-Torah of kavod ha-Torah. So,
you have a long line of the Jew, and there's five people. Someone comes, the Rebbe or whatever, at the end. Now,
the person, the first person, the second person, the third person would not know he's standing sixth in line. Maybe the fifth one would say, Rabbi, come instead of me. There's a difference if there's two people or if there's five or six.
I agree with you, and I think, as we'll see in a second, it's going to be complicated in terms of its nuance, how you play it out. Obviously, if you don't see and you don't know, there's nothing to say. But the question is, what are we sensitive to? So the Meiri in Source 10, interestingly, answers this question by putting together two of the sources that we read. The Meiri begins by pointing out there's a concept of pshara. When did we talk about pshara? At the beginning, compromise, when you have the two boats, when they come simultaneously. So the Meiri says sometimes you have to have pshara, and what he calls the third line, the first two words, mida me'ula, the noble trait. This is the ultimate expression of what we're going to get out of this sugya. Mida me'ula. It's the ideal. I blew it up just so you could read it better. It was smaller. Mida me'ula. That's what we're striving for. So says the Meiri, if you have two camels, or you have two boats, so you have to work out the pshara based on what's right, what the proper thing to do is. Then the Meiri takes this case, and he puts it together with the Rambam. Three lines, four lines for the end. Kol, the first word on the line is kol. Kol kayotziba, kol sha'anu roim shiyachol lizbol ha'ikuv biyoser. Anybody who is able to handle the delay more than the other person. What does that mean? That means that circumstance. If you have a pregnant woman and a regular, healthy, young person, single person, or if you have an older person and a younger person, says the Meiri, Yidachem Ibnei Chavero, V'chein Bari Mipnei Chole, a healthy person steps aside before the sick person. Af Le'inyan Adin Amru, says the Meiri, this is the same thing when it comes to the court. There are certain, processes of who goes first. She'im hayu lefnei adayin harbe balidin. There are all kinds of people there. Magdimin yasum la'amana. The orphan comes first. Va'amana le'tamad chacham. V'tamad chacham la'ama aretz. V'isho kodemus le'ish. Says the Meiri, v'im hakol shove. Last line. Magdimin le'kodem. If they're all equal, then first come, first serve. What do you see from this Meiri?
If you're all Talmidei Chacham,
that means from the Meiri that the notion of first come, first serve is after the considerations that we have articulated. If all the other things are equal, then first come, first serve. But if I'm standing online and I see that there's an older person who came after me, the Meiri would say, they go first. If I see that someone standing behind me is struggling, or their kids are screaming their head off, so they go first.
Let's get them out.
Let's go first, let's get them out. Now, I don't think that the Meiri would say that I'm going to sit on the side and I'm going to let every single person pass because I'm a healthy young man and I have, you know, no, I also have things to do in my life. And I don't think that the Meiri means, I don't think that the Rama means that you should never take your place in line. But the Mida HaMa'ula, what an incredible lesson we take away from this din. That according to the Meiri, I don't just focus on myself. I focus on who's behind me, who else is in my circle of influence. And if that means that there's an older person there, or someone who is a handicapped person, or someone's in need of assistance, it means that they go first. And that as a nafkamina at the checkout counter, I would think, and at the TSA, and boarding the plane, and all these things. When you have priority boarding at the airport, it doesn't matter who got to the gate first. It matters needs the assistance.
The airplanes do that.
Oh!
They do it. Wheelchair person.
They put the wheelchair person first. Because they learn the Meiri. Because they know that this is what the Torah tells us.
Absolutely.
Avada.
They're the last ones off, though.
So that's
the last one off.
Right, they should be the first ones off.
Yeah, except that the wheelchair is never at the gate.
Okay.
Fun experience.
The bottom line, I think, that we take out from the first part of this year is that from a halachic standpoint, waiting online, it's an exercise in nobility. and being sensitive to the people who are around us. I want being a mensch. And that's what the Midah HaMa'ula is. That's what being noble as a Torah Jew is. Now, there are two more observations I'd like to make in this vein. One is a much more global observation and a teaching from Rav Kook. Rav Kook, Zichrono Levracha, the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, passed away in 1935, the first chief rabbi. So he wrote Ovid many, many Sfarim. And one of the small collections of his teachings is called Midos Haraya, the character traits that Rav Kook spoke about. And I came across this recently, and it's an incredibly beautiful teaching. It's in Source 11. I'll just explain it. I'll speak it outside. What's the idea, if you want to talk in a narrow sense, in a very, very narrow, practical sense of standing online and being patient? It means that I can tolerate the fact that the person in front of me has the right to go first. I can tolerate that they'll go first. And when do I get impatient? Because I feel like I need to go first. I can't tolerate the fact that I'm back here on the line. I should be up there, the front of the line. I can't tolerate it. Toleration in Hebrew is called savlonos.
Patience.
To be sovel. So Rav Kook has an incredible pshat about savlonos. And it's so much grander than the supermarket. It's really the depth of what savlonos is all about. And it's a big teaching for me. I was talking about it with my wife last night. It's a big challenge, but it gets so much to what Rav Kook was about. If you see someone who you don't approve of, you feel like you can't tolerate them. You can't countenance them. You don't have patience for them. You just want to be mavatal them. So Rav Kook says, if you're sovel them, if you tolerate them, some would say that you're actually compromising your emunah, your values, because you're tolerating this individual. But says Rav Kook, if you tolerate them, if you're sovel them, it actually demonstrates a greater emunah on your part. Because it shows that you understand that every creature, every human being, every yid, every person has something, has some, what he calls, some Stodim Hatovim. Some good qualities. Efshar Shetisrokin Hanashamim Mikol or Kodesh. It's impossible that that person has no spiritual light. They must have something. Why do I tolerate them? Why am I so with them? Because I see that they have something spiritual in them. They have some redemptive quality. There's something about them that has value. Says Rav Kook, when I'm sovel the other person, it actually shows my nobility. It demonstrates something about me and how I am able to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given a gift of a spark to every person. That's what waiting patiently is. It's to recognize what the other person is about. Sure, I want to put myself first. But the higher level is to look at the person in front of me and say, yeah, they also have something to do in their life. If you want to talk in a practical level, I'm in a rush. I got to get going. I want to be first because I got to get out of here because I got things to do. The person in front of me also has things to do. But it's so much bigger, says Rav Kook. The ability to see that every person, somebody else, even if I don't approve of them at all, there's still something underneath that has value. That's the midah of savlonos. It's a good exercise when we're waiting in line. And the third teaching that I wanted to share is not just about our perspective online, it's about how we act when we wait online. And that's the Rambam in Source 13. Says the Rambam, and this is a Rambam that we have quoted often. Top of the next page. 12 is overrated. The Rambam in the end of the fifth chapter in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. V'yesh devarim acherim. There are other things Shehem b'chlal chilul Hashem that are included in the chilul Hashem. If I ask you, what is the chilul Hashem? You will tell me that the primary chilul Hashem is if I stood up in front of 10 Jews, picked up a tray of hamburger and ate it. That is the ultimate chilul Hashem.
You're flaunting it.
In front of a community. Yeah. To do an aveira b'farhesia, that's the ultimate chilul Hashem. But the Rambam says that's not the only thing that's a chilul Hashem. V'ushiyase osam adam gadol b'torah u'mufursim b'chasidus. A person who is great in Torah and not known in his piety, he does something. Dvarim, second line, shehabrios merananin acharav bishvilam, that the people complain about it. The people are unhappy. They look down on it. Vaval pishainan averos, even though they're not sins, hari zeh chilul es Hashem, that is a chilul Hashem. Kigon shalokach, a person purchased something at the store. Ve'eno nosein demea mekach la'alter, and he doesn't pay right away. V'hu shiyeshlo, and he has the money. V'nimtzu ha'mochrim tovmosu v'hu makifam. He comes to the end of the line in the supermarket, and he says to the clerk, and the makol is like, I'll pay you another day. He has the money. He just can't be bothered. And the man in the makolet, he feels awkward to have to insist that the man pay him, but he feels dejected. So what do we think about that person? Is that a way to treat the vendor? Says the Rambam, Harei zechil es Hashem. Similarly, or he hangs out with a group of lowlifes. And you thinking in your mind, who is this person? Adam Godel Bachasidus, a great pious person, I would suggest, Rabosai, that it's every Orthodox person. It's every firm person. Because especially in today's day and age where we're very visible, you know, I don't know how many of you have ever seen the Yid walking down, or the unknown Jewish guy walking down with the Yankees hat and his tzitzis out of his pockets, or the woman walking down with the long black A-line skirt. You can pick out from people. Whenever I travel in the airport, I have my Yidometer on. I'm always looking for the Yidlech in the airport. You can pick him out in a second. Any Jewish person who is observant, who represents Torah and mitzvos, so we are held to this standard. If the brios are merananos, so tari zechil as Hashem. If people are complaining, and they're saying, oof, he doesn't speak kindly with other people. How does he talk to the gate agent in the airport? He doesn't greet people in a gracious, a friendly, positive manner. Rather, what is he? He's an angry, bitter person. So what kind of person is that? The Rambam says, that's a chilul Hashem. So let's not talk about that. Says the Rambam, what about the opposite? I'm now at the line where it starts with the word v'yasa l'fnim mishuras hadin. V'cheinim diktik ha'chacham al atmo, if the sage was careful, v'hoyo diburo b'nachas im abrios. He speaks kindly to other people. V'daito me'urevas imoem, and he gets along with the people. U'mekablo b'sefer panim yafos, and he greets them with a smile. V'nelov me'em v'einam obom. Even if he is sometimes slighted, he doesn't bite back. Mechabe lahen, he honors them. Afilo mekilo, even for the people who denigrate him. V'nosi v'nosi me'emuna. He has an ethical business. V'lo yarbe ba'arichus ame ha'aretz v'yishivas. He doesn't hang out with lowlifes for a long time. V'lo yeroa tamid ela osig b'torah otav b'tzitzis u'muchtar b'tfilin. How do you see the person wearing tzitzis and tefillin? V'osu b'chol ma'isav l'fnim ishuras hadin. And he does everything above and beyond the letter of the law. V'hu shalo yisrachik harbe v'lo yishtomim. He shouldn't be out in the luft, you know, somewhere disconnected from people. He should be involved. Engaged in the world. People should praise them and want to be like them. See them as role models. That's a Kiddush Hashem. When someone who is identifiably Jewish, someone who is a role model, who behaves in such a way that people want to emulate and honor that person, that's a Kiddush Hashem. So when we stand at the checkout counter, I never think of this, but I think to myself as I'm preparing this year, I should come with a mishnayis. Right? Shelo yarba be'ema'ame ha'aretz. So I'm going to look at the magazines on the side over there. Rachmana litzlan. What's going on in the checkout counter? Some of those things there. It's mamash, it came straight from the garbage can. Let's be honest. So you don't want to get involved in that. But on the other hand, if I just have my Mishnayos in my nose,
you can't see anything else.
I won't be able to greet the clerk or thank the bag packer. You know, the person who helps with the filling the bags. So says the Rambam, Mikabla Mesever Panam Yafos. Good afternoon, how are you? At the checkout counter. How you doing? How's your day? What time is your shift over? To be Mikabla people Mesever Panam Yafos. Waiting in line, it has, I think, many levels, but this is one great example of where we can shine as people of Torah and how we interact with all the people around us to fulfill what the Rambam says. Thank you all for coming.